Blog Talk Radio.
It's game type, player.
Fantasy football, life. Eric Hamilton, RSE, fantasy football expert.
You've got a very unique style, almost European.
K2, Guru.
My style is impetuous.
Football Sensei, Eric Hamilton. Anytime he comes on, he kills it. With this information right here, man, you're going to be able to go over and rush your lead, man. Get in the cypher.
So hopefully I'm hearing this through our special guests. And so, Phil, I want to make that transition to you to having some conversation about those fantasy hopefuls out there.
Yeah, we're going to stay along, man, with the NFL. I know we've been talking about it for the entire show so far, but we're excited to have an awesome guest. First of all, we're going to bring in Eric, our fantasy football guy, to help us out with this interview. But today we have Luke Hoover, a senior football writer and fantasy football writer from RotoWire.com. If you ever read any of his articles and blogs, Luke is on top of stuff, man. You can send him questions, give you feedback on who you should start, and it's an all-around sharp guy in terms of football. Luke, welcome to the Real Sports Guys. How you doing today?
Doing great. Glad to be able to be on the show.
Now, for the listeners out there, Luke is ready. You know, you throw Luke a fastball, a curveball, a changeup, it doesn't matter. Luke is ready when it comes to fantasy football, man. So we happy to have you. Let's jump on in. As I mentioned, Eric's here as well. So we got to tag team you a little bit here and get our listeners up to speed here for week five. Before we get going into fantasy football mode, Luke, let's talk a little bit about a big-time matchup that has a lot of fantasy football implications with Denver and New England coming up this week. What are your thoughts with that game and some of the fantasy football implications there?
Yeah, I mean, it is going to be a big game, like you say. It's a matchup I think is got to be pretty highly anticipated, Manning. First Brady again, Manning's first time with Denver. A lot of talent on both sides of the ball. Two really strong receiving cores, you know, with the young guys in Denver and Thomas and Decker. You know, and you got Brandon Lloyd and Welker in New England, and obviously Gronkowski. It's one of those matchups where you kind of have to throw stats out the window. New England and Denver have both been real strong against the run, top 10, you know, against the run. But, you know, McGay, he's a good back. Ridley's a good back. These guys are going to come to play. And Manning and, you know, Brady are obviously going to be gunning, you know, to just light up the scoreboard. I like pretty much any one of the receivers you can find on any of those teams this week. Lloyd
right.
going against his former team in Denver. I'm actually going to be writing about it for a flex piece I do for RotoWire. But I like Brandon Stokely this week, you know, to possibly have his best game of the season. New England did get burned a little bit by Demaryius Thomas, but when they faced him twice last year, late in the regular season, then again in the playoffs, and they combined for just over 200 yards on like 13 catches, and that was with Tebow. So you kind of have to figure they're going to try to take him out of the game a little bit as much as they can, especially being
right.
Manning's go-to guy. And you know what? Manning's got that history and rapport with Stokely. Then New England's going to drop probably, you know, seven guys in the coverage. They know you're not going to beat Peyton Manning by rushing him and letting him burn you on hot reads. So Stokely's that guy that, you know, the more time Manning has back there, will uncover and give him, you know, some nice kind of chain-moving throws to pick up first downs. He could catch a lot of balls and pick up a lot of yards this week. But it has come down to the quarterbacks, obviously, with Brady and Manning.
So with Wes Welker, man, do you think all the panic earlier in the season was well-founded, or you think Wes Welker is well on his way to have another solid year?
Oh, yeah, I mean, he hasn't lost anything, and he's still Brady's, you know, the guy that Brady has that unbelievable chemistry with. Those two are in sync all the time. You know, I know Welker struggled in week one, and, you know, he kind of split snaps with Julian Edelman, but I think it was a bit overreaction. New England, maybe they do part ways with him, you know, at the end of this year, but if, in the meantime, especially as long as Hernandez is out, Welker's going to be putting up numbers. He's going to get a lot of targets. You know, against Baltimore, and I don't think this will happen very frequently, but against Baltimore, they had to keep Gronkowski in to block, you know, and help protect Brady because that line is a bit shaky. If, you know, any week that might happen if they're facing a good pass rush, Welker's really going to catch, you know, 8 to 10 balls every one of those weeks.
So, Luke, let's move on to some of your fantasy picks for this upcoming Week 5. You mentioned earlier that you're going to be working on your blog for flex plays. Give us a sneak preview of some of the folks you're going to be talking about in that blog.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I already mentioned Stokely, the guy I like. But, you know, the blog covers both quarterbacks and you know, receivers and running backs that are kind of guys you wouldn't otherwise start most weeks. You know, with the bye weeks going, now you're going to have some quarterbacks unavailable, guys like Romo and Carson Palmer, who in, you know, 10 and 12-team leagues are probably starting a lot of weeks. But a guy that I like as a replacement, my top guy, is Andy Dalton. And he's starting to creep into that, you know, almost where you have to start him in a 12-team league discussion. He's played fantastically the last 3 weeks. He's thrown for nearly 900 yards. You know, he's actually totaled 3 scores in each one of those games. He had a rushing score this last week. He gets Miami this weekend. You know, he's at home. Miami's got the number one run defense in football. So if Ben Jarvis is struggling, you know, Dalton's going to be dropping back and throwing the ball a lot. He still has A.J. Green. He's got a lot of good complementary weapons this year, and Jermaine Gresham is starting to look healthier. So he's a really good play that I like. Another guy at quarterback, you know, actually in that game, and it was a big surprise last week. I like Ryan Tannehill. I mean, you'd have to be really hurting to probably play him and even own him for that matter. But in a really deep league, he's starting to impress me. He actually throws a really nice ball. You know, they have one of the best left tackles in football in Jake Long, so they can protect him, and he's not getting sacked, which is good this week because Cincinnati does lead the league in sacks. You know, and Hartline really blew up. You know, he looks like a good, capable receiver. I mean, people, I think, kind of discard him, you know, sort of like what the discussion that Jordy Nelson received a little bit last year, just that, you know, you don't expect it from, you know, day to day, but a white wide receiver. And right. Hartline is 6'2". He's 200. He's actually pretty fast, pretty athletic. He's a good player. He's a good go-to, but then Devon Best on the other side is a great possession receiver. So Tannehill has better weapons than anybody anticipated, and he's got the arm to put numbers up, as he proved against a really good Cardinals defense. Cincinnati's not near as good against the pass as the Cardinals, so he could have another big game. You know, and as I already mentioned him, Devon Best is a guy I like this week. Hartline's going to draw more attention, obviously, from what he's done the past week. And, you know, the Bengals are down like 4 or 5 cornerbacks at this point. Leon Hall didn't play last week. He's iffy. He's questionable. He's got a hamstring injury. If he comes back, then he's probably on Hartline, and then Devon Best can take advantage of whoever is across from him because he's going to be an inferior cover corner.
Wow. Two Miami wide receivers.
Two Miami guys,
huh?
Believe it or not, yeah. You could start either one of them in deeper leagues, and especially in PPR because they're both guys are going to see a high volume of targets.
Sure. You listen to Real Sports Guys at RealSportsGuys.com. We're here live with Luke Hoover, senior football writer from RotoWire.com. Yeah, that RotoWire that gives you all the updates, injury updates throughout the week. Luke, we're rolling here through flex picks. You had some running backs you want to talk about as well before I toss it to Eric.
Yeah, sure. I've got 2 names I can give to you that will probably be in the column this week. Undecided on the one, but I'm liking Jacquizz Rodgers a little bit this week. Washington's allowed the most passing touchdowns of any team this year. They've given up 11 so far. It's almost 3 a game. You know, Michael Turner looked pretty good catching the ball this last week, but Rodgers is still the third down guy, and I could see him having in the neighborhood of 50, 60 yards receiving and maybe sneaking and getting a score. He has one on the year so far. Another name to look out for this week is Ryan Williams. You know, a terrible game last weekend, but at the same time, like I said before, Miami is the number one run defense. They limited Darren McFadden earlier in the year a lot. They, you know, Foster scored on them, but he only had about 80 yards, and it took him almost 30 carries to get there. You know, the Rams are giving up 135 yards a game and 4.7 yards a carry, so this could be that game where Williams finally breaks out. He had a nice one against the Eagles 2 weeks ago, and he showed he can, you know, produce if given the opportunity. He's by himself right now, Beanie Wells out.
So you mentioned Darren McFadden. For 4 games, he has 201 yards. The running back formerly known as C2K, he's got 186 yards through 4 games. And another higher, you know, third-round pick or so, Steven Jackson's got 195 yards. So you've got an owner that's sitting out there that may have drafted Chris Johnson and maybe a Steven Jackson with third-round pick. They're putting up the same numbers right now as a Sean Green that has 191 yards. Luke, tell our viewers out there, you know, what should they do with these three backs out there?
Well, right now there's not a lot you can do. You could try to sell a guy like CJ Pye. He just had a really nice game, obviously, against Houston. You know, had about 140 rushing, and you know, had a good got carries for the first time this season. Had about 25, I believe, and it was in a blowout. So they showed that they're willing maybe to, you know, get him going. They obviously committed to it a little more. He gets Minnesota this weekend, and it's not, you know, a great defense, but they are playing a lot better than they anticipated. So he could have a down week again. And if he does have another one, then people maybe would not be willing to trade for him. I'd consider selling Johnson. Excuse me. He had only four real big games last year, and you never saw them coming, really. So I still don't trust him. This was just one game. With McFadden, I would wait on McFadden. He's such a talent. He does make me nervous about him breaking down, but at this point you really can't get a lot for him anyhow, so you kind of have to wait. And then Steven Jackson, I kind of attribute that mostly to the groin injury, but at the same time, the Rams are going to play a lot of tough defenses this year. They've got the Cardinals this week, and they've been, you know, just tearing it up defensively. They're a highly aggressive defense. You know, they have a lot of good tacklers, guys that fly to the ball like Paris Lennon, Darrell Washington. Their secondary has some heavy hitters with Adrian Wilson. So I wouldn't want to play Steven Jackson this week. I wouldn't really play him unless I had to, as he's dealing with this injury. If he does get healthy, he's the type of, you know, talent he can run on just about anybody if he gets healthy. But right now it's looking like, you know, you can't do anything with him other than bench him.
So let's kind of move on to receivers. You mentioned Brian Hartline earlier in the show and kind of talked about he's going to be drawing more attention this week. So he's coming off this major game of the 12 receptions, 253 yards. Do you see this as more of a trend for him or as a blip on the radar? And then do you see him as possibly the this year's version of Victor Cruz?
I don't think he's a blip on the radar. I'll say that. I can virtually guarantee he just had his best game of the season. He's not coming anywhere near that again. But let's take a look, a deeper look, and consider Tannehill doesn't have a lot of guys to throw the ball to, and so far he's thrown at the Hartline 48 times in four games. He's averaging 12 targets per game. He just got 19. He's not had less than 8. And, you know, his one, he had 50 yards in week one, and he had 41 in week three. But those were at Houston against possibly the best defense in football with a cover corner and Jonathan Joseph that's maybe just a hair shy of Darrell Revis. And then in week three, he played against Darrell Revis. So, you know, he got limited in two games against possibly the best, you know, corners in football. Cincinnati has really poor corner play right now, so he could still have a big week, even if they are focusing on him. And then he gets the Rams up next. I don't love the Rams matchup because they've been excellent against the pass. They have Cortland Finnegan, who's highly underrated, and he's a strong corner. The rest of their schedule does not look particularly strong. You know, they have San Francisco on the road late in the year, but outside of that, it's a very promising schedule for fantasy production. He doesn't play a ton of strong defenses, and you know, he's gonna see the ball. Tannehill's gonna also improve, you know, with each start. So I like Hartline. I'd say he's probably gonna finish somewhere around 1,100 yards or so, maybe 1,200. The touchdowns, he's probably not gonna get a ton, but he's gonna be consistent producing yards, and you know, in PPR league, he's gonna have a lot of catches. If he's out there, go claim him.
So we've got four teams on bye week this week: Detroit, Dallas, Oakland, and Tampa Bay. For those managers that are out there that are looking for a waiver wire 1 week spot fill, other than Tannehill, who are some other quarterbacks that may be available that you would consider putting on your roster for a bye week fill in?
Yeah, if you need to claim somebody, you know, the other rookie quarterback that no one expected to do anything this year just threw for over 300 yards in Baltimore, Brandon Whedon. And he looked really sharp. Their line protects him well. He doesn't have, you know, great receiving options, but he throws a good ball. He's an accurate passer. He can read, you know, tall quarterback, and he can read the field well. And he now has, in his first four starts of his career, he's got 2 300-yard games. He also topped 300 against Cincinnati. He's not going to get you a lot of touchdowns, but, you know, against the Giants, there's a, you know, the Giants are sort of an enigma right now. They pound Carolina. They struggle a lot against Philadelphia. But I think they're going to score in this game. It's a home game for them. And I think they're going to put some points on the board. So Brandon Whedon's going to be playing from behind. He's probably going to be throwing a lot. And Trent Richardson, You know, he's a great running back, so he can soften the defense and open up the passing game a little as well. As far as guys on waivers, you know, there's not a lot of great options out there to claim. Those are two guys to take a chance on.
Sure.
Kevin Cobb is probably on waivers as well. I'm not as high on him this week. He had a nice game last week, but he's going to the Rams, which I said before, they're a really strong pass defense. I think they have like 8 interceptions right now and have only allowed 2 scores through the air, which is highly impressive, one of the best in the league, that ratio. So he's a guy that if you're desperate, you can probably play because he still does have Larry Fitzgerald. I think Michael Floyd is going to slowly emerge, and Andre Roberts is playing very good football.
Yeah, absolutely. And last question before I toss it back over to Phil is on the tight end. This year, I've seen the deepest tight end piece that we've ever had. So after you get away from that top tier, so after the Gronkowski and the Jimmy Graham and maybe the Davis, and you start to get into that second tier or the tier that's kind of moving up, so you got the Bennett, Rudolph, Olsen, Miller, Chandler, and Pitta, who do you see having the best remainder of the year out of that second tier group?
Well, the best player out of that group right now is probably Martellus Bennett. But the guy who I think is going to end up possibly putting up the biggest numbers is Dennis Pitta. You know, he put a goose egg on the scoreboard this week. But the guys you just mentioned, they all really struggled. Rudolph had, I think, just under 10 yards, and Bennett had 2 yards. So none of them get anything this week. But Pitta, so far, you know, through 4 weeks, he actually leads Baltimore in targets. He has 32 targets, so he's averaging 8 a week, and he's got 2 scores so far to show for it. He's not a guy who's going to get you a ton of yards, but he's a real big target, and he has very reliable hands. He can get open quickly for Flacco, and he likes to find him, you know, in the red zone. I think he's going to get a lot of targets, and I think he's going to ultimately have probably the most touchdowns of that group. And when you're talking about it, you know, a lower tier tight end, you kind of need to find a guy who's going to get touchdowns. You could say that Scott Chandler, you know, may actually end up surpassing him as far as touchdowns, but he's getting maybe 40 yards a week. Pitta has the upside to have 70, 80-yard weeks.
Sure,
I like
sure.
him a little bit more.
You're listening to Real Sports Guys and RealSportsGuys.com. We're here hanging out with Luke Hoover from RotoWire.com. You can reach Luke on Hoover_L_A at Twitter, as well as you can see his columns on RotoWire.com, the football links, or RotoSynthesis.RotoWire.com. Now, Luke, you have me cracking up over here. Whenever I hear Martellus Bennett, I think about 5 years ago when he was with the Cowboys on Hard Knocks. Position coach John Garrett always told him, keep it high and tight, Martellus, not fumbles. And then you showed some love to the Cleveland folks. Eric has been killing the Cleveland players, the Cleveland Brown players for the last couple of weeks, so I appreciate you showing some love for Wheaton. Now, Luke, one of the benefits of having your own radio show is to have a professional like yourself analyze my, not Eric's, not Devon's, but my fantasy football roster. So,
okay, put me under the gun.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So I have a theoretical question for you, Luke. In my wide receiver 2 position, I'm always conflicted whether or not to go with Danny Amendola, and this is a point per reception league, Danny Amendola, who's going to get me 5-6 catches for 60 or 70 yards, or go with Vincent Jackson, who is either going to be feast or famine. Talk about your theory and your strategy when you got 2 polar type of guys that have different skill sets and can get you different numbers each week.
Well, you know, that is a tough one because, like you say, Jackson's so boom or bust. I usually prefer to go with the guy I know I can rely on for points in a PPR league. That's, you know, Amendola is almost as good as it gets. He's not going to catch less than 5 or 6 passes in a week. He'll have the occasional explosion where I don't know if he's going to catch 15 again this season like he did in week 2, but he'll catch 10 balls some weeks, 10, 11. And I think the way I would play that is, like you looked at, you know, what Jackson did this past week. Washington has been dreadful against the pass. You know, one of the last in the league to giving up the most touchdowns. That's the week you can roll him out. You can confidently, you know, look at him and say he's going to put up big numbers because this team can't really stop the pass. And, you know, the Giants looked like that team in week 2 as well because they were having cornerback issues with, you know, as far as their health. So those 2 weeks were obviously great starts for him. They're playing a defense that can slow the pass even a little bit. Josh Freeman's just not doing very much, throwing the ball. That offense in general is really struggling. I would play him against, you know, the tougher matchups when I go with Amendola.
Luke, let's talk about some deep, deep free agent additions before I pass it back to Eric for a question or two. Who are some guys that you think you might want to snag this week because they're available and maybe stash in your bench for future use?
Sure. You know, I write a blog, and I try to get it out every Friday or Saturday. And I call it Don't Wait for Waivers. So it's basically the premise is beating, you know, guys to the punch. Pick up a guy before he maybe becomes relevant and possibly a waiver claim the next week. That way you already have him on your team. A name I'm keeping my eye on, and I'll probably be writing about this weekend, is Bryce Brown, backup to LeSean McCoy. You know, McCoy should be just fine, but he did have a minor knee tweak this last weekend. He played through it. But Brown has been starting to get carries here and there, including getting an important one down the stretch inside the 20 on the last Eagles drive. He's a bigger back than McCoy. He's about, you know, 220, 225. And this is a guy, he had very limited college experience, but he was the number one running back recruit coming out of college, and he was the last one to, you know, get that ranking since Adrian Peterson, when Peterson came out of high school. So Bryce Brown is definitely a name to watch. He's got a lot of ability, real explosive runner with some size. A name that's way down there on the radar, and you might not grab this week, maybe even just kind of watch him to see if he does anything, grab him the following week, that I like, is Cyrus Gray. The Chiefs have a lot of talented running backs. Killis right now is dealing with the ankle injury. He may be back, he may not, but he also hasn't performed all that well. And they got to put somebody on the field that can protect the ball. Jamaal Charles is the bread and butter. He's going to get carries. But he's also not a guy who can handle full load week in and week out. He's also coming off the ACL injury. Cyrus Gray was a draft pick. Sean Drone was not. He's an undrafted free agent. He just put one on the ground this last week. Meanwhile, Gray had his only carry of the year, went for 15 yards. And he also looked really good in the preseason. So he's a name to watch. He's an athletic back with really good vision, shifty. And he hits a hole, you know, and accelerates very well.
There's a situation going on in Buffalo that I want to get your opinion on. Fred Jackson is a guy, last year he was a flat-out stud until he had that injury. And then C.J. Spiller came on at the end of the year, kind of same thing this year. You know, once Jackson went down, C.J. Spiller went bananas. And then last game, when they were both in, neither one of them really did anything. So can you kind of talk a little bit about your expectations for C.J. Spiller and Fred Jackson going forward?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I still really like them. I'm high on both of them, provided, you know, they can get past these injuries. You know, I think that's the only reason they were slowed this weekend. I don't think that it's so much that, you know, the Patriots were great against the run, you know, or Buffalo didn't block well, or these guys just, you know, underperformed. Spiller's shoulder injury actually looked like he aggravated it for a minute in that game. He ended up coming back in. He averaged just over 4 yards a carry, but they both lost fumbles. So, you know, they struggled. Going forward, I as soon as Spiller, they say, you know, his shoulder's back to normal, I like him more because he's a little more explosive than Jackson. And I think it's going to be close to probably a 50-50 split. You know, Spiller just showed so much ability in those weeks when Jackson was out, and he looked phenomenal, like he would be the number one running back this season. But Jackson's still, you know, a tremendous talent in his own right. He can catch the ball, you know, he can run it strong. He's a guy that's going to fight for every yard. I wouldn't give up on either one of them. I certainly this week wouldn't start either one of them against the 49ers on the road. One thing I do want to keep an eye on, they had drafted a guy named Cordy Glenn, who they were playing at left tackle. And this guy is massive. He's a big, big left tackle. I thought he would be a guard and be one of the better run-blocking guards, but he's got quick feet, so they liked him at tackle. I think he helps in the running game a lot. You know, their backup, Chris Hairston, is still strong, and he might be playing this week and maybe, you know, into the future for possibly a couple weeks. Glenn is dealing with an ankle sprain. So that's something to keep an eye on because, obviously, you know, running backs can only go so far if their line can't block for them, and the Bills have been opening up gaping holes so far. But don't give up on either of these guys. They're still incredibly talented. As soon as they're healthy, they're going to both produce. You can probably play either one of them any week.
Luke, you've got a plethora of information in your head. I got to wonder what else you do in your life, Luke, because you are on point. I'll tell you that right now. One last question before I hand it back over to Phil. Another highly touted and highly drafted receiver that has been injury-prone this year is the New York Giants' Akiem Nicks. So, I mean, he burst onto the scene. He played well in week one. Week two, he went bananas. and then he's kind of just been, didn't make the third game, didn't make the fourth game. What are we to do with Hakeem Nicks? Is the guy coming back, or is this knee injury going to be something that's going to hinder him for the rest of the year?
They haven't really disclosed the severity of the knee injury or kind of the specifics of it. The latest news I've read is that Tom Coughlin basically just said he hasn't had any improvement. So I wouldn't anticipate him coming back this week. I mean, he's going to probably be, you know, they may call him a game time decision and do what they did last week and then just rule him out a day or two early. He's iffy. He's had injury problems in the past where he's missed at least a couple games every season, and I'm concerned about it. You can't drop him. You have to hang on to him. Hopefully your league has an IR position where if he's out, you can put him on there for a week or 2 weeks, however long he misses. In the meantime, you know, if you do have Hakeem Nicks, guys like Dominic Hickson, Ramsey Barden are nice investing if they're still available, because, you know, Manning's still going to throw the ball plenty and he's still going to get yards, as you've seen the last 2 weeks. Each one of them had a 100-yard game. So, you know, they're worthwhile investments. If Nicks can be on the field, he's probably going to be productive, though. He's proven that even through injury, even with the foot bothering him in week two. He went bananas. So hang on to him, you know, and just kind of hope he comes back soon. But it could be more than even this week at this point. And until they tell you how, you know, severe this injury is, kind of have to be in the dark like the rest of us.
Yeah, do you see Hickson as getting the greatest bump with Nicks being out, if he's out another week? Or and if so, do you think that bump is something that's going to push him into maybe a top 20 type of receiver?
In that Giants offense, he absolutely has the potential to be a top 20 receiver for as long as Nicks is out. Barden's still going to get targets, but as we saw this last week, Manning has a little bit better chemistry and lengthier history with Hickson, and, you know, that showed. He got a lot of passes his way. When Barden had his big week, something to consider was that Hickson was out with a concussion. But, you know, at the same time, Hickson's had a lot of injuries in his career as well, a couple ACLs, concussion a couple weeks back. So he's risky, but, you know, and I like him this week. I like him as a flex play, especially with Cleveland still missing Joe Hayden.
All right, let's give Luke a breather here while we pay some bills. Resistance Digital Solutions. Are you tired of running to the boys in blue? Are you done with listening to sales staff trying to upsell you technology that you don't need? We've all been there. So, what did the real sports guys do? We contacted Resistance Digital Solutions for all our technology needs. They are not there to meet sales quotas or make profit margins. They simply just want to sell you what you need at a fair price. From iPads to PCs to flat screens, TVs, or intricate home theater systems, they customize every solution based on your needs. Check out their website at www.resistancedigital.com or email them at sales@resistancedigital.com for your custom technology solutions today. You listen to Real Sports Guys at realsportsguys.com. We're having a good time here with Luke Hoover, senior football writer, fantasy football ex, rotowire.com. Luke, we've been working you out hard here in the post, man. It's like a young Patrick Ewing. We just keep dumping it in to you.
Hey, you guys forget, you can't tell. I'm pretty short. I can't handle the post. I'm more of a point guard.
All right, we'll wrap it up here with Luke. We got a few more questions for him. Luke, I want to throw this Washington running back situation at you. Alfred Morris has been the man. He's been getting the bulk of the carries throughout the season. And we all know if you want to start a Shanahan running back, do it with caution. Now, Ryan Grant was recently picked up by the Redskins. Talk about how this might influence that dynamic and if you think Morris will be the guy throughout the rest of the season.
I think Grant might have an influence. In the blog we talked about earlier, this Don't Wait for Waivers that I write, I told people to pick him up last week, and I actually did in the week. I was a little disappointed he was inactive, but wasn't surprised because they just picked him up, and, you know, he does need a little bit of time to learn the offense. Right now, Morris is as good a start as there almost is in the league outside of your absolute elite guys. He's easily a running back number two. He's really a low-end number one running back right now. He's getting so many carries. He actually showed a little more explosion this week against a Tampa Bay defense that was number one against the league going into the week as far as running defense. Ryan Grant is a pretty steady veteran, though. He brings that presence where his conditioning, you know where it's going to be. It's always going to be at game conditioning. You know, he reportedly had good workouts for other teams prior to signing with Washington. He's got two 1,200-yard seasons under his belt. he's a talented player. If Moore, I could see the scenario in which maybe Moore wears down a little bit, being, you know, a rookie, played at Florida Atlantic, small school, and, you know, Shanahan has been feeding the ball a lot. For now, he's absolutely the man. But later in the season, I could see Grant eating into that workload, possibly Evan Royster, but I believe Ryan Grant's an upgrade over Royster, and we'll take that number two job pretty quickly.
Now, Luke, before we let you go, our crack research staff found out that you were a Packer fan. we got to get your thoughts on the Packer season so far. I mean, they're looking up at the Vikings and the Bears in the division. What are your thoughts with the Packers, and how do you think they'll finish up this year?
You know what? I'm not too concerned about them. They don't have a particularly difficult schedule, number one. I mean, going into Indianapolis this week certainly doesn't scare me. They don't have the defense to keep up with Green Bay's offense. So I think they'll be able to gain ground. Minnesota's probably going to wind up finishing closer to 500, certainly not above, I think, although they haven't made great improvements on both sides of the ball. And Chicago's an erratic team. And you know, they'll go as Jay Cutler goes. Their defense can win them games, as they proved last night. But, you know what, if Cutler really struggles or if they can't block for him, their offense might have a really bad week just about any week. So I like Green Bay. Rodgers is still, to me, the best quarterback in football. And if Jennings misses significant time, there may be a hint of worry that I'll have. But Randall Cobb's a, you know, up-and-coming player, and he'll still get, you know, points on the board, and that defense can rush the passer about as good as anyone in the league.
Well, there you have it, Luke Hoover from rotowire.com. You can reach Luke on Twitter at Hoover_L_A. Luke, we appreciate you for coming on, man. And also, I want to note that I have Andy Dalton, so I'm jumping up and down literally when he said he's on the cusp of being a premier quarterback. So, man, you are invited to come back anytime. We really appreciate your time tonight.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. Have a good night, Luke. All right. Again, D. Wills, we'll bring you back in, man. That was Luke Hoover, senior football writer from rotowire.com. And you see why. Luke was all over it, man. He knew his stuff inside and out. Your thoughts from the conversation.
Man, this was incredible. And I was trying to see who I could pick up. It was great being in my case. And I could research and see who I could pick up or put on my watch list. I thought it was fantastic because, you know, you and I played fantasy for a long time, and the difference between winning a championship, being competitive, is those adjustments you make in the midseason, understanding when to buy low, when to sell high, and to really try to advance your roster. I mean, this week I made a trade. It was interesting y'all talking about Chris Johnson. I made a trade with Santonio Holmes and Titus Young. And Titus Young preseason was someone that people thought might be a flyer, catch him, because everybody was buying into the growth of the Lions. And I still think he might bounce back later in the season and be a good pick. But I was able to pick up Chris Johnson, really to use him in a flex position, which makes him an elite player in that position because he doesn't have to necessarily be my number one. And so I think it's important to look at it. And I was thinking about what he was saying about Miami and Hartline in them, and they just picked up Jabbar Gaffney. And Jabbar had 947 yards and 68 catches in 2011 with the Redskins. They picked him up because, you know, they've been looking for a receiver. And understanding how that might impact the dynamics as they move forward in terms of where Hartline might go, you know, giving a young quarterback some other options, and also how Reggie Bush, as he kind of foots through some of the injuries but comes back stronger, how that might take away from him. But I think the Hartline pick is interesting. I like what he said about Dalton. One tight end I picked up last week that's interesting, as y'all were talking about the tight end, is Scott Chandler. And I picked him up because Fitzpatrick likes to use him in the red zone a lot. And he had about 62 yards and two touchdowns against New England last week as somebody that was a good filler for me for the week. And so this was a great – what he was really hitting on is the kinds of things that it takes to win a championship in fantasy. And that's what I loved about having him, those diamond in the roughs. And he's someone you should be paying attention to and reading his column. That's why we bring him to RSG. You know, we got the executive producer, you know, Phil T. You know, he's like Dr. Dre. You know, they call me Suge. They call me Suge. No, not the violent Suge. I'm the business Suge. Not the violent. I'll get into the violence. Non-violence, non-violence. But Phil is like, y'all don't understand. He's like Dr. Dre. You know, the beats are fresh. He takes time to bring the album out. But when it comes out, it's hot. He's a dope
producer.
Yeah,
we're not going to rush a release. We're not going to rush a release, D. Wills. Okay? I don't care what pressure we're getting. We will not rush a release. Okay.
Oh my goodness. What were you thinking about? Were there some things that you, in terms of how you were thinking through your strategy? I know it's because you're in a couple of different types of leagues. I just started going into IDP, which I'm beginning to get a handle on. It took me a while to kind of figure out how to leverage those defensive players, and then you got the points per reception league you're in. But as you think about what he said, I mean, what were your impressions?
Well, honestly, I really just wanted to continue on and just ask some specific questions about my roster, because he's so knowledgeable.
I thought you got to get
yeah, I had to sneak a few in, man. You know, one of my challenges is this year I did an exceptional job drafting, and one of the reasons, like one of the downsides of that is I've got some, like, every week I've got two or three guys on my bench that just about everybody else in my league would be starting. You know, so for example, at receivers, we can start two receivers plus a flex. So if you want to start a receiver there. On my team, I have, and, you know, this is a 12-person league, Brandon Marshall, Andre Johnson, Danny Amendola, as well as Vincent Jackson. And then at running back, I have Jamal Charles, Chris Johnson, and Alfred Morris, who I picked up really early in the season off waivers. So when you look at that, this past week I had Chris Johnson on the bench. I had Brandon Marshall on the bench. And I also had Amendola on the bench. But the guys I played produced very well. So from a strategic standpoint, you know, and this will be a question we'll ask Luke the next time he comes on, is how much should you pay attention to matchups, or how much should you just ride and die with your dogs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Brandon Marshall, top 15 guy every week, top 10 sometimes. Andre Johnson is always a top 5 guy, but he's getting to be feast or famine. So, those are things that I struggle with. And then you look at the dynamics of a PPR league versus, you know, a non-PPR league like you and I are involved in. And that changes the dynamics. A Wes Welker, a Danny Amendola, they are a fraction of their value than they are in a PPR league, where a guy like Vincent Jackson becomes that much more important and valuable. So whenever you're playing in multiple leagues, man, it's always tough to kind of keep it straight. Because you fall in love with certain guys, but you have to kind of categorize it. Okay, I fall in love with him for PPR, but I'm going to divorce him for a standard league.
Yeah, and I think, you know, and usually sometimes you can overthink it. And I almost think, like, you know, sometimes your superstars are your superstars. Let them play. And not overthink it too much. And so sometimes that's kind of how I try to approach it, that my superstars are my superstars. And sometimes I'm not going to try to overthink what they can do or not do. And that, I think that's part of the challenge that we have when we do it. I think that's how I function well, by not trying to overthink, you know, kind of what it is that I need to do. And so I've often tried to kind of make that my thing. And then another player, I mean, there's a couple players that I'm just excited about that I've been thinking about. And that are potential, depending on what happens. Kendall Wright is someone that I also think has some potential, particularly, you know, Lockhart isn't playing, and, you know, they mess around and find their way kind of going, because he had a great week last weekend, and I think he's a young, talented, still learning how to run some routes, but I got a feeling they're going to need to, you know, utilize him to stretch down the field a little bit.
We've got a listener that called in from Jersey. Alan from Jersey is on with us. Alan, you've got a couple of questions for fantasy football. Divine and I are on the subject this week. Give us your first question.
The first question is PPR league, 10-point rushing touchdown. As we mentioned before, you get a point for every 10-yard rushing. Once you hit 100 yards, you have 5 bonus points. the scenario is I have Matthews, I have Ridley, I have Forte, and I have Michael Bush. I need to start two. That's my first question. Which two?
You said Ridley, Bush.
Yep, I have Michael Bush, I have Forte, I have Ryan Matthews, and I have Ridley. So I need two out of there.
Yeah, so Devon, he's got Bush, Forte, Ridley, and Matthews. Alan from Jersey who called in. That's a tough one. You know, I'm really nervous about the Bears running backs because Forte, even though he catches a lot of balls off the backfield, and Alan said he's in a point-per-reception league, I get a little nervous with Bush still in the goal line carries. And Matthews has got a really good matchup with New Orleans this week, and Ridley is going against Denver at home. So out of those two, I would actually lean towards Ridley and Matthews simply because of their matchup. I'm sorry, New Orleans. So Matthews has got the matchup with New Orleans, so I would certainly play him there. That's probably going to be a high-scoring game. And then I'd go with Ridley against that Denver defense as well. What are your thoughts with those four?
Yeah, I would say, particularly to some of the points per reception, and I would go with Matthews just because New Orleans doesn't tackle, and that's the biggest thing. So you know he has the potential to have some breakaways. And out of the teams you talked about, San Diego, even though they have Phillip River there, they'll run the ball. And so you can get I'm secure with him. The Bears, I mean, if I knew Forte was going to be healthy, because you know he's going to get yards and he's going to catch the ball out the backfield.
Right.
And
right.
Even though he might sneak one touchdown, out of all of them, he's the best, but you just don't know his health. So I agree with you. I would go with Ridley. And New England is caught some fire in that second half. And Ridley's just an outstanding back. I think they like him a lot. So that's a safe play that I would go to. So I like the way you're going with that. You know, the only thing I would say is that Forte, if you knew and were confident with him, I might sneak him in instead of Ridley. I just think Matthews is going to have a good game because New Orleans hasn't demonstrated the ability to tackle. And I think he's going to have a big game on that.
All right, Alan, so you got it from us. We're unanimous. You need to go with Ridley and Matthews over Bush and Forte. You had a second question for us.
Yeah, my son's question is, he wanted to know, should he drop he wants to pick up Amendola, but he'd have to drop Lance Moore. He's got Dez Bryant on a bye. He's got Greg Jennings hurt. I forget who his other receivers, but his other receivers real, real good. I just don't remember.
Point per reception league, Alan?
Yeah, PPR league. So he wasn't sure, does he drop Lance Moore for Amendola?
So dropping Amendola, Devon, or picking up Amendola for Lance Moore. Lance Moore, surprisingly, has been getting a lot of red zone looks, primarily, I think, because of teams spending so much time on the big target with Colston, who actually had a breakout week last week, as well as with Graham as well. But kind of like how Luke told us, man, Amendola's a star with point per reception. This is a guy that, assuming he stays healthy, he's going to go over 100 receptions for the year. He got in the end zone last week, which was huge. And, you know, I think this is a guy that in any week is going to get you 5 to 7 catches, and he might have a breakout week and get you 12 catches. So I actually would go with Amendola. I know he's playing against a pretty good defense in Arizona this coming week, but really Amendola and Bradford have that chemistry that Amendola's always going to get the receptions.
It's funny, I watch Amendola, and I'm thinking – Bill Belichick is trying to figure out how to get him.
That's right.
He's just I can't say he's a poor man's version of Welker. I just think that he is a great pick because you know he has to be part of the offensive package to do it. Moore is having some great, but again, you don't necessarily know that. Breeze, I love Breeze, but sometimes his receivers, I treat them just like Shanahan's running back. You just don't know where he's going to go. Somebody's going to have a hot game and blow up. But you know for them to be successful in St. Louis, Amendola's got to get catches. So I would go to Amendola.
Well, Alan from Jersey, we want to thank you for calling in, man. Appreciate you staying on hold for so long. And hopefully the suggestions will help you this week. Be sure to stop by Facebook, realsportsguys.com, and let us know how our suggestions help you. D-Wills, you know what time it is.
Be a dog.
You know.
We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats. We need more dogs.
Hey, man, we need more dogs this week. So my dog of the week, I'm rolling with a hometown legend, a good friend. Went to undergrad with him, Henry Grant, the all-time leading rebounder. Actually, second now at Beloit College. He was inducted into the Beloit College Hall of Fame. Want to shoot a shout-out to HG3. Congratulations, my man.
And I want to second that because y'all are somewhat contemporaries. I'll let you have that one. You know I love HG3. Mine is, and this is unusual, but folks who watch the Ryder Cup, Ian Poulter, 5 birdies in a row. He was in, you know, when Jordan the Blazers, when he hit those
right.
shots in a row and just kind of looked to the sidelines like.
That's right.
Ian went off. He had 5 straight birdies that created the charge on Sunday. The Europeans came back, took the Ryder Cup. That cat is incredible. He's a big game Ryder Cup legend. I got to give you love, baby. That's it. That's my dog of the week.
You got it, man.
All right.
Awesome show today, man. We had Eric Hamilton, our fantasy football guru, come on to help us with an interview with Luke Hoover from rotowire.com. And Luke was 110% on point. Again, you can check out Luke at L_A on Twitter, as well as on rotowire.com. Next week, we got a banging show lined up for you all. More fantasy football, more NFL. We'll start talking about the NBA. We're going to rank the top 25 players and go through week by week, every 5, to see who we all have on that list. As well as tomorrow on Inside the Park, RJ, Hank, and Michael will be dishing out their postseason awards. I'm sorry, their regular season awards, such as MVP, Rookie of the Year, and so forth, as well as they will be breaking down the upcoming playoff action. D. Wills, that's all I got. Take us home, man.
Well, as we can say, it's been a pleasure, y'all. Y'all know we got the Dr. Dre of sports and Phil T. I'm trying to be the Suge. We got the game changers like Jay-Z. And Ray, I don't know what Ray is. Ray is like Big Papa. And we loving it. Eric Hamilton, it was great. Until next time, peace, RSG.